I would ask you to turn in your Bible to Galatians chapter 5. I want to read some verses there which are going to be the focus of our thoughts this morning. I have Romans chapter... Galatians chapter 5. We read from Romans chapter 7 earlier, and I'm going to refer to that passage later on, but I want to turn to Galatians 5, and we're going to just read verses 13 to 18. Paul says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." I should mention, by the way, as those of you who are here regularly know, I'm reading from the English Standard Version. It's the translation that I use. Verse 14, "For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk in the Spirit, or walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." One of the keys, I believe, to the Christian life, or really to anything in life, to everything in life, is balance. In every area of life, there is a tendency for us as human beings to become unbalanced, to go to extremes in one direction or the other. In the area of health and fitness, you have those who will spend hours a day in exercise and working out, counting every calorie, being careful not to eat anything that might be considered unhealthy. They become so obsessed with their doing everything with their health in mind that they can't even really truly enjoy the health that they have. And on the other side, you have the other extreme. You know, the couch potatoes, whose only exercise is to walk to the fridge to get something else to eat. In the area of money, you have spenders and you have savers. Those who become so obsessed in one direction or another, they cannot truly enjoy what God has given them. In every area of life, it seems that it is possible, if we're not careful, to become extreme in our thinking. And the same is true when it comes to the biblical teaching regarding our walk as Christians. In our study of Galatians, that we've been in for quite a number of weeks now, Paul has been warning his readers about the legalists, the Judaizers, those who were trying to compel them, these believers in Galatia, the Judaizers were trying to compel them to be circumcised and to put themselves under the Old Testament law of Moses in order to be truly complete, in order to really satisfy God's standards or requirements. Now, we may not be tempted to go the route that these Galatian believers were taking. And yet, there is a very real temptation for us today as Christians to move into a legalistic and rigid approach to the Christian life. There is always that tendency to build for ourselves a list, lists of rules and regulations, lists of the things that we must do and the things we must not do, the things we need to avoid if we truly want to be what we might call a good Christian. And as I've thought about it, it seems to me that one of the reasons that it's so tempting to get into this legalistic frame of mind is that there is something reassuring about having a list. Because we can compare our life to the list and say, yep, I did that, yep, I'm good. Did it all without any regard to the condition of our heart and where we are in our actual relationship with Jesus Christ and with God, our Heavenly Father. And that's the problem with legalism, is that it's based on and focused on the outward actions, without thinking about the spiritual condition of the heart. There is, however, another extreme which is equally dangerous. And these are the people that we sometimes call libertarians. Instead of being bound to the law, however unintentional it may be, through a list of rules and regulations, these people take the idea of grace to the opposite extreme. And their approach is that since we're under grace, and God's grace covers all of my sin, therefore it doesn't really matter what I do. I'm free. I can live in freedom. I can do anything I want to do. I can live any way I want to. I'm free from any restrictions, so I can live as I please. After all, I'm covered by the grace of God. And once again, there's a problem. Taken to the extreme, grace becomes not grace, but a license to sin. And that is a distortion of grace. The key is a balance. Neither legalism nor license, but rather a life that is controlled by the Spirit of God. And that's what Paul is calling for in our text today. Let's have a look at what he says here. We begin with the whole aspect of freedom to serve others. Verses 13 to 15 are a review. We looked briefly at these verses last week, and Paul's case is very clear in verse 13. He has spent the last four and a half chapters explaining to these Galatians that they are free in Jesus Christ. And so therefore, he says in chapter 5, verse 1, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore. Do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Here he says in verse 13, for you were called to freedom, brothers. You're free in Jesus Christ, free from bondage to sin, free from bondage to the law. Only, he says, do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh or to indulge the sinful nature, but through love, serve one another. Paul's case is clear. You've been called to freedom. You're no longer under bondage to sin. Trying to keep the law only leads to bondage. Bondage to the law, but in Christ you're free from that. So live in that freedom. But he goes on to say, freedom does not mean being free to indulge the sinful nature, but rather to serve one another in love. And as I mentioned last week, that self-centered, that self-serving, self-indulgent approach to life is really what we've been set free from. Selfishness is what causes us to think that we can do it ourselves, to please God. You're no longer bound, Paul says, by the need or the desire to do things for yourself. You've now been set free to serve others, to do things that help others, to serve others, motivated by the love of Christ himself. And in verses 14 and 15, Paul contrasts these two very different life patterns. He says in verse 14, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. When we're living a life of love, a life that is focused on other people, we are fulfilling the law. Not because we're required to fulfill the law to please God, but because our goal is to serve and to love others, to love them with the love of Jesus Christ. But look at verse 15. He says, but if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. When we're caught up in the self-indulgent, self-serving life that many people consider freedom, we're trapped in a life of conflict, a life of strife, a life of destruction and ruin, of devouring, consuming one another. Why? Because, as I said last week, the problem is, where does my freedom end and your freedom start? When my freedom conflicts with your freedom, where do we go from there? When I say, well, I can do anything I want, but what I want to do conflicts with what you want to do, what kind of freedom is that? So how do we find the power and the capacity to live the life of true freedom that Paul urges us to live? How do we gain victory over the selfish, sinful nature that leads us to viewing freedom as self-indulgence, saying that since I'm free, I can do anything I want? How do we gain victory over that? Well, I'm glad you asked. Well, I asked it, but that is exactly what Paul goes into in the next few verses. And here we come to the conflict within. In verse 16, Paul says, "But I say," this is the other side of it. If you're living a self-indulgent life, you will bite and devour one another, you'll be consumed by one another. But he says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." That's the alternative to the biting, devouring, and consuming lifestyle of verse 15. If we're going to gain victory over the flesh or the sinful nature, we need to be guided and controlled and empowered by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Paul says, "Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." And in the following verses, Paul goes into a discourse on what it means to walk in the Spirit, to walk by the Spirit. And he goes into giving us a contrast between the deeds and the actions and the works of the sinful nature, the old nature, and the fruit of the Spirit of God in our lives. Well, we're not going to get into that today, but I want to focus on verse 17, which in turn is going to lead us back to the book of Romans and the passage that we read earlier from Romans chapter 7. Verse 17 says, "For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do." Sounds like a battle going on, doesn't it? Well, that's what it is. It's a battle. It's an ongoing struggle. And there will never be peace until that sinful nature is removed. We need to begin by defining or explaining these terms. The NIV, New International Version, uses the term sinful nature throughout this passage. This translation, the English Standard Version, uses the word flesh. The word has a kind of a plethora of meanings. It refers to the flesh, the body. But obviously, Paul is not using it just as a reference to the body. There is that inference there, but the word is also used to refer to the sensuous nature of man, what some would term the animal nature. It can be used to denote the human nature, the earthly nature of man. This is taken from a Bible dictionary. The earthly nature of man, apart from divine influence, and therefore prone to sin and opposed to God. That's the meaning, the idea of it. It is the nature within us that is opposed to God, that has no divine influence, that leads us to sin. It is clear that when Paul uses that term here, he is referring to the flesh as that sinful nature that we inherited from Adam. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, sin came into the world, Romans tells us, and death through sin. But ever since that time, we have had to deal with this sin nature. We are born with this tendency to do what's wrong. We struggle with the flesh, the sinful nature. And the worst part is that when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we don't get rid of that sinful, fallen nature. Even though we receive a new nature, and we are indwelt by the Spirit of God, we still have the old nature in us. And we still have to contend with the flesh, with the sinful nature. And that's why Paul says that the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. There's a conflict within us. And the sinful nature does everything possible to keep us from doing what we really want to do. And that's what Paul describes over in Romans chapter 7, in that rather lengthy passage, and speaking about sin and the sinful nature. We're not going to go through that passage in detail by any means, but I want to mention a few things that Paul points out in that passage in Romans 7, which Court read for us earlier. As believers, we still struggle with sin. We struggle with sin all of our lives. Paul is clear that even though he is a believer, has been for many years, and we think of Paul as a great spiritual man, a missionary, a man who knew God intimately. And yet, he says he has a constant struggle with sin, with temptation, because the old nature is still there. The old nature is still within him. And so, even though we are believers in Jesus Christ, we still struggle with that old nature. Even though, as Christians, we're free from the condemnation of the law, sin, nevertheless, continues to dwell within us. And we all, along with Paul, should be profoundly aware of how far we come short of God's standard of righteousness. One of the things that stands out to me in all of this is that in many ways, life is easier when you're not a believer, when you're not a Christian, because you only have one nature in you. It's that human, sinful nature, and it controls you. When we're without Christ, we're controlled and we're dominated by that old nature. We do what comes naturally. It's a term we use, what comes naturally, by nature. We live according to the desires of the flesh, the sin nature. But when you come to Christ and you're indwelt by the Spirit of God, now you have conflicting natures within you. Now there's a battle for control of your life. I just couldn't help thinking about this chart we have over here, that Anita Cole uses with the children sometimes, a picture of the human heart and the throne in the heart. And we want Jesus Christ sitting on the throne, but how many times does our old sinful nature push him aside so that we get on the throne and take control of our lives? There's a battle for the control of your life. Your flesh, the sinful nature, is pulling you this way to continue to do those things which come naturally, to do those things, the deeds, the things of the flesh, the deeds and the activities that appeal to the sensuous desires of the fallen human nature. But at the same time, you have within you, as a believer, the Holy Spirit. And your spiritual nature is pulling you to do what is right, to do what pleases God, to do the things that appeal to the spiritual nature. There's that desire to do what pleases God. And that's what Paul is talking about in Romans chapter 7. He says, I want to do what pleases God, and yet I find myself doing the things I don't want to do. And I find myself not doing the things I do want to do. These two natures, with their different desires, are at odds with each other, and so you have that constant struggle within. It's like a continual tug of war within you, something you didn't have to deal with before you knew Christ. That's the conflict that Paul describes in Romans chapter 7 and again in Galatians 5:17. In Galatians 5:17, when he speaks about that, the Spirit against the flesh and the flesh against the Spirit, these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. We have two natures that cause this constant struggle. And as Paul says, we want to do what's right, and yet so often we find ourselves doing the very things we don't want to be doing. That may involve actual outward actions, or it may involve worry over things we can't control. It might be destructive thought patterns, negativity about ourselves, or it could be areas of anger or greed or lust or a host of other attitudes and behaviors which we want to be free from. And yet we keep, they keep pushing themselves up in our lives. We keep going that direction because of the sinful nature. So what is the answer? Well, hopefully we'll see more detail in the weeks to come as we go on through the rest of this book of Galatians. But for right now, the short answer is to walk by the Spirit. Verse 18 says, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." If you're led by the Spirit, walk by the Spirit, Paul says in verse 16. Walk by the Spirit and you will not desire the, or you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So what does it mean to be led by the Spirit? To walk in the Spirit, to live by the Spirit. I think the NIV uses the word live in verse 16. Live by the Spirit. This one says walk by the Spirit. But it means the same thing. Our daily walk with through life. Well, Paul gives more information as we go on. He contrasts the deeds of the sinful nature with the fruit of the Spirit. And we're going to get into that next week. But for right now, let me just put it this way. The key to victory is to be growing stronger day by day in the Spirit. I'm reminded of a story which you have probably all heard before, but I'm going to tell it again. It's a story of an old Indian who came to know Jesus Christ. He was led to the Lord by a missionary, and after a few weeks he came to the missionary one day and he said, "Ever since I accepted Jesus, I feel like there are two big dogs inside of me fighting for control, a black dog and a white dog. And there's just this constant struggle going on inside." And the missionary explained that this is exactly what Paul is talking about. That he explained that the fight between those two dogs was really the struggle between the old sinful nature that wanted to get him to do evil, that was the black dog, and the Spirit of God pulling him to do right, the white dog. And then he asked, "So which one is winning?" And the old Indian replied, "It depends on the one I feed the most." I think he had it figured out. If you feed the spiritual side, you feed the Spirit on the truth of the Word of God, you will find the Spirit winning more and more in your life. If you feed the sinful nature with the lusts and desires of the flesh, you will find yourself losing the battle for righteousness. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have this conflict within you. It's there. We can't get away from it. But the real question is, which one is winning? Which side is winning? Which side are we feeding? Which side is growing stronger? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word that challenges us, that encourages us. Lord, we all struggle, even as Paul said, with doing the things we don't want to do. We want to serve you. We want to please you. We want to live for you, and yet we find ourselves failing so often. Lord, help us to grow stronger, to feed that new nature, to fill our lives with the Word of God, that we might grow and become more and more victorious over the sinful nature. Lord, we just pray that you will just fill us and guide us by your Spirit today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.